Hello and welcome to Three Wide No Cover. We've got Group 1 racing in two states. Very excited to be here. I'm joined by Simon Marshall, Julian Valance. How are you, boys?
Good, Julesy. You know why? Group 1 racing. And we're starting to really turn the corner now. It was terrific at Flemington last weekend. The rains didn't come, but geez, the George Mains, it's a small field, but an unbelievable field. And then the Sir Rupert Clark handicap conditions, geez, the minimum to the top weight, really compressed the weights. Not much between them, Jules.
Yeah, absolutely right. Very competitive races. So the nine races at Caulfield, really tough to sort of pick apart and try and find a winner. So it's going to be interesting to see what the market does with a couple of races, in particular the Rupert Clark. You've got a three-year-old taking on, you know, a horse like Behemoth who's got to carry 60 kilos, but that weight might not be a hindrance. It's a really good card at Caulfield, I think.
Very good, Jules. And we'll get to all of that very soon, but first, the track report.
Yeah, out 3 metres the entire circuit. We are on a good four. 25 to 35 kilometre northeasterly. Now, this is really important because that's actually going to be a headwind into that chute, that 1,000 to 1,200 metre chute you can see there that we have there with our track map at the moment. That goes into their faces. Now, the northeasterly bit, it just is actually going to be coming off their right flank. So horses, usually we're not too worried about 1,000 to 1,200 metre horses that draw wide because it is only one turn into the straight at Caulfield. That might just be hitting them first. So that's the slight negative, I think, from that wind. In terms of the wind strike rate, well, you want to be forward midfield on Saturday at Caulfield. It is a huge advantage all the way through from the 1,000 to 1,200, from the 1,400 metres plus. It is a distinct advantage to be forward midfield. So low percentage play being back in the field. Now, the northeasterly just does possibly help those horses back in the field. But still, the stats are pretty compelling for horses that are leaders. As you can see there, wind strike rate 24%, 28, 26% for 1,000 to 1,200 metres. These are the shoot races. Look at the ROI in the positive there for those things at the front. And then as we get down, minus 41, minus 25 and a half. And we get to 1,400 metres plus. Again, it's a pretty similar tape. Leaders ROI 46%, 51%. It's saying a lot that forward midfield's the place. Does temper it a little bit with that northeasterly, but I know where my horse is going to be the high percentage play.
It's going to be 25 degrees too on Saturday. Drying conditions are rock hard in front. Mm.
Very, very good. All right, we'll look, of course, at the hot jocks at the moment and a couple of new names here, Julesy. Haven't heard of these two. Well, we know them, but we haven't heard from them in this segment yet. So, flying.
Yeah, they're going really well. Luke Nolan, I think, is the first one that comes up. Six from his last 24 at 25%. He just probably in the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks has really put some really good performances. He's riding really well. SD, you were saying that he's obviously, you know, got himself fit and he's probably aligned himself with Pete Moody again.
Yeah, his old master Pete Moody's got him down there working his butt off too, and also Lindsay Park there, and he's being supported. So Cool Hand Luke here, Sir Rouge, is a good price at $12. Hindam will roll forward and run them a merry dance. Fits that return on investment that you just spoke about, Julesy. And he's got a couple of nice roughies in some features later on.
Johnny Allen's the other one we're going to speak about. He's 5 from 25, going at 20%. So again, this is a jockey that obviously always rides really well, but he's now getting himself up into a higher space. He usually goes around 15, 16%, so he's above his average. This is where we want to work on. We know the market's moved towards these jockeys and trainers when they're above their average, and this is why we've identified Johnny Allen as well. He's a jockey. Obviously, he can be a little bit neutral, negative from the gates, but he's got some pretty good rides as well that I think he'll probably be hard to beat. In particular, Muntasira, good to see this horse back in race three to see whether it's progressed from a two-year-old to a three-year-old, SD.
And what we're seeing with Johnny Allen too is obviously had the comforts of the Darren Weir stable and the numbers and backed up. He's taken a while to get himself back into, he's foot into some big doors in terms of Mark Eustace here where he's being supported. Also the Blue Army, Godolphin team at Flemington are really supporting Johnny Allen, so he's riding extremely well.
Yeah, very good, SD. And you spoke about Mar Eustace, and we'll come to them in a sec, and we hear about a lot of their runners. But we've got another one here, Stokesy Jules.
Yeah, Philip Stokes, 5 from his last 15, going at 33%. Now, this is just Victoria only. We know he's probably going really well at South Australia, but we want to just zero in on the Caulfield this Saturday. So his Victorian camp, which obviously we know is based at Pakenham, 5 from their last 15 at 33%. So this is really good numbers. And he's only got a couple of horses in, but there's a couple of horses that are going to be some really key players on Saturday, SD. Incestry's first up in Octane. We know what that horse can do when it was up the Flemington Straight. It was blistering last 400, last 200. You can just suggest the market's going to trend towards these two horses just for the fact off the stats of Philip Stokes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's been here long enough. Now, what we did love to do was follow Philip Stokes when he travelled his horses from Morfettville and target these spring races. But now that he's been based at Pakenham, he's been there a few years now and he's really got a good handle on which horses he brings to town at this time of the year and targets these feature races. And those two are cracking chances.
Very, very good. And I'll tell you what, Ancestry.com there and Octane. Nice little double punish. You get about 10 bucks power play. Julesy, we're going to hear about Ma and Eustace.
Yeah, we keep talking about this camp, but a camp that has, you know, goes at 15, 16% with such a high volume to be going now at around 22%. They've just continued to be holding this level for the last couple of months. It's positive signs. 28 from their last 127. They're going to have plenty of horses on Saturday. And we're just seeing, especially with their staying horses, that the market is trending towards these horses. Doesn't matter if they're off 30 days. Lord Belvedere was off 70 days last week when it won the first race at Flemington. They backed Persan around it. It was $4.20 into $3.20. It's just a camp you can follow with real confidence, SD, and I can assure you, these horses here, a few of them are going to trim right up just because of Ma and Eustace.
Average price would be around $7 a field going around there, these deep fields of a weekend, Julesy, just off the top of my head. But look, they're targeted. Mutasira probably the best of them as we look at them. And well, Tanker, he's still got his two best mates in. He needs to lift in. I know that Dr. Drill was one of your black bookers and he's got a little bit of work to get across and carry some weight at 59 kilos, but he'll be ready to rock at the mile and a quarter.
Yeah, very good. All right, we'll take a break now. When we come back, we're going to jump straight in to Group 1 racing. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. Let's jump into Group 1 racing. We're going to head up to Sydney now for the George Main Stakes. Very Elegant is your favourite at $2.30. Avilius, $5. Dreamforce, $5.50. Star of the Seas, $8.50. Imaging, $9.50. Colding, $13. Colette, $34. It's not a massive field, but it looks like a good one. Now, gentlemen, before we get to you two, got some big news, Julesy.
Go on.
We now have two Group 1 winning jockeys on this show. Not me, not you, we know that. I'd like to welcome Caitlin Mallion. She's going to be joining us now and we're going to be speaking to Caitlin ongoing about some of the Sydney racing and, of course, the Group 1s there. Caitlin, how are you going?
Thanks for having me, Wally. Yeah, Very Elegant's come back well. For a little horse, she's all heart and she showed that with her narrow win first up in the Group 1 Winx Stakes. She's drawn well in the George Main and I can see James McDonald parking her right behind the speed set by Dreamforce and maybe a horse like Colding will push forward. It's a fascinating race with five individual Group 1 winners and two horses looking for their first Group 1 victory in Imaging and Star of the Seas, who nearly beat home Very Elegant last start. So I'm looking forward to a great clash of some of the top horses of the spring.
And are you on Very Elegant or do you like something else?
Yeah, well, it's hard to go past the favourite Very Elegant. She looks to get the right run in the race. I think her main danger is a Dreamforce. If he gets a cheap time in front, he can always give a good side out in front. And I always have respect for the old marvel up the top of Villiers, who won this race last year. Big watches on Imaging after a luckless run in the Winx Stakes and Star of the Seas, who was close to beating Very Elegant first up.
Yeah, thanks, Katie. And we're going to catch up with you next week, of course, for the Golden Rose. Looking forward to that.
I look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Great. All right. Now, gentlemen, plenty to top there. Julesy, we'll go straight to you with the map.
Yeah, small field, so not a lot of tempo at all in this race. Dreamforce will roll forward. That's its best chance. I think Colette might roll forward just from that inside gate. I know it's only second up, but I just wouldn't be surprised if they rolled forward. Colding probably sits outside Dreamforce. And then you've got a horse like Very Elegant from that inside gate. It can just be three pairs back. Avilius Imaging. Here is Very Elegant winning. This was first up, 1,400 metres. What we don't see there is this horse was wide throughout. This was a big performance. J-Mac sort of pushed the button early. This race went 3/4 of a second inside standard time. So for this horse to fight back first up over 7 furlong, we know she's better over 2,000 metres and beyond, was a mighty performance. I think this identified this horse as, you know, the best weight for age horse we've got at the moment in Australia. And I expect her to continue to go on her winning way and win. The small field, I think, helps her. Look, it's going to be a muddling run affair, but I just think James McDonald will just control when he wants to move on her. And when he does, I just think she's got the best turn of foot. I'm slightly concerned about the really dry track, the track's good at the moment. It might continue to dry out. Just on a real bone dry track, she may have a concern, SD, but she's the best horse in the race, and I want to be with the best horse in the race most times when it, you know, suits like these situations. I marked at $2.20, so a little bit shorter than the market, so I'm happy with Very Elegant. I think she keeps winning. Katie mentioned Davilius won this race last year. Did win this race last year. He's second up here. He was third up last year. He was $3.10 favourite, so don't know how he's going to go. He came back okay, I think, last start, but I'm with Very Elegant.
Yeah, she is the best thoroughbred going into this race. She was second in this last year, as you mentioned, Julesy. She needs a lot to go right for her because that ride first up in the Winx Stakes where James McDonald kept her out of trouble when they had a mid back off of the tempo and he got her rolling and she was in a beautiful rhythm and that was perfect for her. She goes back to the inside. Inside low draw here and it's going to be a tactical race. Now, we know Dreamforce, he's very good. He won the Tramway first up. He won the Rider at Group 1 level at 1,500 metres. He was second in this race behind Avilius last year. He naturally leads and he is going to tactically at some stage back the tempo off to suit him to then kick at the 600 metre mark. So where does that leave the best horse, we think? She's a better horse this year than when she ran second in it last year. Very Elegant. It leaves her floating box seat maybe two pairs back. Now, James McDonald would hope that Colette comes across. Imaging. When he won the Ajax, he was in the first four. You watch that Winx Stakes, he should have beat Very Elegant with any luck at all, Imaging. So he's absolutely flying. So he's the horse that I'd like to be riding here, drawn a little out that could follow Colette across and maybe sit one out, one back, have Very Elegant on my inside. Star of the Seas come from last and was terrific. Headed Very Elegant, got past her, but she fought back and had the clear set of lungs. And then you've got Avilius sitting back, smoking the pipe and ready to rock and roll. So what does Colding do? Now, he's a really interesting runner for me, Colding, because he beat Fierce Impact second up last autumn. And then he went on to the Epsom. He's a really smart horse. If he can come across and then sit outside of Dreamforce, he's going to be mighty tough to hold out. But it's Imaging. One out, one back, Very Elegant on my left shoulder, following Colding, who follows Dreamforce. Tactics wins this race, I think. And Very Elegant will need every little bit of luck to sit and sprint on this good track. I reckon James could just come out the back and then just follow him or scoot up the fence and try and kick when Dreamforce does. Watch that.
Yeah, it's a good point because it's going to take James McDonald, I think, but that's why he's a premier jockey. He's an absolute champion in the pigskin. So I'm trusting in J-Mac.
Very good. And Julesy, with this one here, are we talking about you're happy enough with the price now? Or do you reckon you'll get a little bit bigger on the day?
Yeah, interesting one. I don't think she's going to drift too much, but if it's a white hot leaders track, then she's definitely going to drift and you'd think Dreamforce will be heavily supported. So,
would you wait to back
her?
To see how the track plays.
When they're at the pointy end of the market like she is now, $2.30, there's no need for me to go back her at $2.30 now. Even though I've marked her at, say, $2.15, $2.20, I've got no issue with waiting to the death. Let's just see the track play out.
Yep.
When you're playing at the pointy end, just hold off. There's no... You're not getting any advantage for knowing the dog before it comes to school when you're betting at those shorter prices.
Great advice as always there, Julesy. Let's have a look at the Caulfield card. We're going to have a look at the quaddy legs today, which I'm excited about. You boys don't get as excited, but we're going to have a look at the last four races on the card, starting with race six. Mozzie Monster is your favourite at $3.10. Aiden's Field at $4. Agreeable, $5. We jump out from there. Melbourne Storm, $14. A Pinch of Luck, $15. Malicorn and Hind Dam at $16, Cafe Razoo $23, ODM at $26, and then Radil $31, Yes Baby Yes $34, as is Silhouette. Julesy.
Yeah, map really tricky here, punters, because a lot of these horses, especially the ones at the top end of the market, want to be negative neutral. They want to find their feet and then, you know, obviously finish off through the race. So I thought Yes Baby Yes might roll forward, Redeal, Odium, those kinds of horses could roll forward. Cafe Rizu has drawn wide, I expect it to roll forward. There's a real opportunity for one of these horses at the top end, say an Agreeable, Mozzie Monster, even a Pinch of Luck, and Aiden's Field. I know they've drawn wide and they're looking at the 1,000 guineas. This is a hot race. Like, I think the winner here is probably going to end up being favourite for the 1,000 guineas. But they've all drawn wide, and it's just interesting that if one of the jockeys decides to go forward, take some initiative, I reckon they're going to be mighty hard to beat. That's just the map is really tricky with this race. Where did I settle on? I settled on Mozzie Monster. This is a horse that's only had the two starts, but been mighty impressive in both runs. On debut, it was a slowly run race, but the last 400, last 200 was the best of the day. And then this horse went to Bendigo. Now, this was a very fast run race. This was 3/4 of a second inside standard time. You can see Mozzie Monster just come back through the inside here. Jamie Carr was in the saddle on this day. It was $2.40 favourite, so market thinks it's a good horse. And it got through and won like a nice horse. Now, the last 400-200 was only fair. I think it was the worst for the day. But the fact that it was 3/4 of an inside, inside standard time means that they've gone fast. So, obviously, understandable to knock up late. And the positive is, in a slowly run race on debut, it absolutely smashed the clock. I think it's a really nice horse. I am worried about the gate in terms of, are they going to be negative? They're going to have to steam over the top of it. But I think Mozzie Monster's a horse you can follow. It's a really nice horse, 2 from 2. I expect it to keep winning. But this is a really tricky race, SD, because I reckon tactics will play a major factor in deciding the result.
I think so, Jules, and I think most jockeys will know by race 6 how this track's playing, and that'll be vitally important. What I'm really keen on here is a little bit of class in this race that are headed to better races, I would have thought. Your horse, Mozzie Monster, terrific. Just ran just a tick slower than the benchmark 70 at Bendigo that day, but it was the way she was able to do it. She likes to take a sit, but it's Aidensfield for me, who was unbeaten before her return at Moonee Valley. She drew deep. Decided to ride her quiet. Now, when she pinged out of the gate, she's got such great speed. She could have landed on speed and been right there, not had to work 3 deep, 4 deep, and then not let Knight's Raid inside her get up and just beat her. I like her drawn out a little bit and use the gate speed here. I think she's the class runner in this race. And what I love is an aggressive approach with the winkers for the first time. To me, that suggests we're here to win. So I would like Aidensfield to roll forward with the like of Hindarm, the stablemate who won on the Pakenham Synthetic last start. Ran really good time on that occasion. And Hindarm, its gallop out was fantastic. Had a little bit in reserve. These two horses can roll forward. Malacorn will hold, Melba Storm will hold, Redeal will box seat. Yes, Baby Yes would probably like to sit in a wall. So Aidensfield is that horse for me. Cafe Rizou, this horse to win from the jump from 14 to 1800 metres was outstanding at Flemington. This is a pretty important horse on the day. If they are rolling forward, this horse could roll forward and have a bowling gallop dropping back from that 1800 metres and freshened up and make this a true test at 1400 metres. Mozzie Monster will be ridden cold and get every possible chance and agreeable from that outside gate. I would expect they'd elect to go negative because that's what they've been doing all preparation and leading up towards 1,000 guineas. But Aidensfield, to use her gate speed and control this, doesn't matter if you're 3 deep with no cover by the time you get down to the 1,000, the 8 and the 600. Control it on the best horse.
Very good, SD. We'll take a break. When we come back, of course, more action from Caulfield, including the Group 1. Welcome back, punters. Let's continue the look at the Caulfield card. Looking at race 7 now, and your favourite is Order of the Garter at $3.80. Dr. Drill at $5.50. Game Keeper at $8. Canane at $8.50. De Beer at $13. Shandy, look, needs a couple of scratchings, but if it does get a run, it's $13. Steel Prince, $20. Mirage Dancer, $21. In Good Health, the Quaddy Killer from a couple of weeks ago at $23 there. Polly Gray, $26. Think We're Due at $31. And The King, $126. Julesy, the map.
Yeah, map really important here. This is a big race. Obviously, you win this race, you get into the Caulfield Cup. So I think there'll be a lot of intent. These horses are a fair dinkum about this one, that's for sure. Hackie rolls forward. That's his go. Think We're Due. De Beer's drawn that inside gate. I think it's going to get a beautiful run. I think it sits in the first five. Dr. Drill, here's its opportunity. Got that gate five, I think. We saw it ridden negatively first up in the Heatherly. I think they'll push the button. I think they'll sit in the first four or five. And I think Order of the Garter probably has to sit in the first six as well from that inside gate, gate four. So I'm expecting all the major players to be ridden positively. Here was Order of the Garter. Just got on the back of Al Ghulail here. Look, this was first up off 42. Or it had a 42-day break and maybe just needed the run. Great ride by Ben Malam on Al Ghulail, I thought. This race went half a second inside standard time, so very different to the race that a lot of these other horses are coming out, which was won by In Good Health, the Heatherly. That was a moderately run race. This is a fast run race, the Order of the Garter race. Geez, it sets up really well for this horse. I think he is now ready to peak. He was, as I said, off 42 days last start, but he's been backed in every one of his three runs in Australia. A long time ago when he got beaten by Furin in a slow run race, he was heavily supported. Then two starts ago, he was heavily supported at Flemington and then obviously went to Moonee Valley and just got beaten there by Al Ghulail. Now, 2 weeks or 3 weeks in between runs here for Order of the Garter, 21 days, I expect the horse to be ridden positively and I expect the horse to win. I just love the fact that he's coming out of a fast run race. Horse like Dr. Drill and Gamekeeper, I'm worried about them. They're very good horses. I just reckon they might be half a run short coming out of that 1,700 metre Heatherly that might be a little bit soft late. Order of the Garter gets his chance to win. If he does win, he's got 50 kilos in the Caulfield Cup. He obviously becomes exempt. He has to get a penalty. He probably gets a penalty, and I'd say he probably Saturday night, if he wins the race, he's the new Caulfield Cup favourite.
A lot of properties.
Absolutely.
Probablys. They're Julesy, but I love your probablys because this is the type of race it is. I think the best ride wins this race. There's a lot of horses that'll be peaking for this mile and a quarter gallop. There's only a short run before you start turning, so there is pressure. Dr. Drill will roll forward with about 59 kilos. De Beer will hold. Hacky, Think We're Due. And I think In Good Health, him sitting on the speed last start and fighting them off was outstanding. He's drawn out, he'll roll forward. Order of the Garter gets a nice run, Steel Prince. And then you've got Chapada, Gamekeeper, Polly Grail wanting to take a sit, and then Muhammad Dias back on the inside, all looking just to balance up in behind this wall. Bremen Rocks, Night's Watch, Harlem, Jamaica, who have won this race previously, all had a nice tempo back in just off this speed here. What horse fits that type of mould? I think it's De Beer for me. I think he's a horse that drops 2.5 kilos. There was a lot of pressure on him this day. Michael Rodd left hand, let him wobble around the bend. He shifted three horses at the top of the straight. He got there, he was a sitting duck, and then he wobbles back down. And it just was everything against the way this horse has been prepped. He sat back, he's run prior at Flemington, he worked home extremely well. Here he doesn't have to have any pressure on him whatsoever, and the drop in weight is significant. He gets a nice wall of horses in front of him. He gets to follow the right horses that can get him out of trouble, and I think he's ready to peak to beer, and I like him on a really good track as well. I think, interesting, Polly Gray wasn't far off Order of the Garter there. She gets the earmuffs for the first time. She can roll forward and find a spot. She'll be mighty tough to run down, but it goes deep. It's nice to see Canaan be switched from Sydney to Melbourne and get a taste. He'll sit back often, pick a path, and I wouldn't be surprised if he flashed late if they pulled the pressure on from the 800 and made this a 2,100 metre gallop, this mile and a quarter race. So De Beer from me to get the best run in the race and do no work early.
It's a good point. De Beer, $13 there. I think it ends up starting single figures. I think the market will trend towards him. 49 days in your performance there. That was inside standard time behind Credence. That was a hot race. And now 2 weeks into this, he's going to be cherry ripe as well and coming out of the fast run race. So, yeah, De Beer, if you like him, I can't talk you out of him, and I think he's going to tighten right up in the market.
Very good. Two that will likely shorten there. All right, let's have a look at Group 1 racing from Caulfield. Behemoth is your $4.50 favourite in the Rupert Clark. Tagalore at $3. Age of Chivalry at $9.50. Superstorm, $11. Banquo, $12. Cascadian at $13. Pretty Brazen at $18. Madame Rouge, $20. Be Good to Your Mother at $21. Over the page in what is a very big field here. Raheran is at $23, right down to Arcanar Star at 50-1. And over the page, there's even a couple more. Goldfields, 200-1, if you don't mind, Julesy.
Yeah, this race is going to be run at a pretty quick clip, I think. Be Good to Your Mother, has to roll forward. Won this race last year with 52 kilos. Obviously got to go up in weight, but his best chance is obviously to roll forward. Dollar for dollar on the quick 7-day backup. It's fit enough now. Third run this prep, it'll sit outside leader. I think Streets of Avalon has to roll forward. I know it's been going terrible, but from that wide gate, I just don't think they've got any other alternative. Akinar Star, I reckon, will hold its spot from gate one. Mandela Effect can be positive. Tagalow, the three-year-old, really interesting to see what they do, but I think Mickey Walker probably tries to take a backside of Streets of Avalon. Is in the first six, but is not hard right up on the fence early doors. And Age of Chivalry probably gets the back of Tagalow. Horses like Banquo and Behemoth, I've mapped them as the best mapped horses in this race. I think they can get a beautiful run. We saw last time Behemoth won, he won the race here. This is where Craig Williams won this race. This is a horse that sometimes can just be a little bit silly in the barriers, sometimes miss him. Craig was right on top of him. If Craig has to be like that again, he has to settle in the first five or six with this big weight. I've marked him around $6, so I think he probably drifts on the day, but he is a mighty chance of winning this race. Yes, he's got 60 kilos, but everything goes up 2 kilos because of COVID-19, so don't be stressed about that too much. There's still only a 6 kilo spread top to bottom. 2 years ago, Jungle Cat won this race with 58 kilos. I will say this race does profile very well for a horse on the minimum of 52.5, which is now 54, 54.5. Five of the last eight winners have been in that sweet spot of 52, 52.5, which is obviously the 54 kilos. And I settled on Banquo. It's on the quick 7-day backup. It's on the minimum here. I just think off the speed map, it just maps beautifully. I think it settles in the first five or six. I think he can absorb the pressure, and I think it might just get last crack at him at Banquo. At that sort of $11, $12, I'm happy to be with him. Has backed up once before, ran fourth in the Sandown Guineas to Pretty Brazen, and that was in a really fast 1,400-metre race. So got no knock with the 1,400 metres. It was wide that day, just didn't have anything work its way and still finished, I think, half a length, three quarters of a length behind Pretty Brazen. So I'm with Banquo in a really even race, but if you like Behemoth, I wouldn't talk you out of him. He's going to run a mighty race as well. It's a ripping race, as it should be, in a handicap over 1,400 metres at Caulfield SD.
Yeah, I really like this race this year because there's genuine speed, not just by one or two runners, Jules. You mentioned Be Good to Your Mother, Dollar for Dollar, Age of Chivalry, Run Sun, Streets of Avalon, Gold Fields from the Outside. There's your wall of speed heading up that hill for the first time. So there's more pressure on the inside gates to jump well and do everything right. The likes of Behemoth, if he jumps like that again and gets a similar run like that again, Akinar Star will put a little fly in the ointment. I reckon he can hold his posse and go with him. He'll get a beautiful run, but there's more pressure with that wall building and then horses wanting to jostle for positions. That then brings across Banquo, drawn outside him, brings across Tagaloa. I Am Superman if that horse runs. Madame Rouge will look to fit in midfield. Pretty Brazen can hold on speed to midfield. And then you've got the likes of Mandela Effect. Harlech, this New Zealand horse, that's a Group 2 winner, trialled up really well, gets a tongue tie on, I think, so a really good chance to sit back. Cascadian then follows that lot with Rohan and Debt Agent. Superstorm will go back, three deep, cover, down the side, and he'll try and bowl into the race. So really good bowling tempo here, which sets up, I think, those horses that can sit off that speed and then pick them apart late. I think Behemoth with the big weight and 60 kilos, he's not going to get everything that he got when he won his Group 1 last start, and he was terrific winning that, so I'm taking a set against him because it'll be more pressure to jostle for his position inside the 600-metre mark and put pressure on him with 60 kilos. And, jockeys, he's got the target on his back. So you ride to look for him and make sure that you've got him beat everywhere you want to go tactically because he's the horse to beat. So there's more pressure on him. The horses that I really like in this race is Banquo on the backup. You said that Sandown Guineas wasn't ideal for him when Pretty Brazen beat him there. He gets 2 kilos off Pretty Brazen from that Sandown gallop when they met in the Sandown Guineas. And his Bobby Lewis run was terrific. I think he's a better 1,400-metre horse. I think he's a handicap Group 1 style of horse with a lightweight, and he fits his mould very well. So I love him on the backup. He's going to get the best run in the race from my point of view. Pretty Brazen also on the backup. She's tough, and her 1,400-metre figures are absolutely outstanding with the likes of Probabil and so forth. And also Cascadian. Cascadian, I cannot let go around at this price at $13. I kept going back to his mile run in the Cantala where he got back. Look, yeah, he's a little bit slow, but he fits this wall three deep cover out of all that ruckus that can be on your left shoulder when jockeys are jostling for positions heading into that 500-metre bend. He can sit back with Ollie carrying this weight, and I reckon he has the turn of foot in the sprint. He was terrific behind Behemoth. He's been terrific every time this time in, and I think that this fits up perfectly for a horse like Cascadian. And if he brings his best, it wouldn't surprise me if he won. So Cascadian's the horse I want to ride. No debt, Wade. D. Oliver. Yeah.
Big fields, plenty of value. They are Pretty Brazen at the price, to be honest. There's no knock on that last.
Same race multi, Mick.
Well, let's get around it. There you go, same race multi. Look at it on our socials. We'll put one out. We'll do a three wide same race multi for that Group 1. We'll do one for the Sydney one too. All right, let's look at the last at Caulfield. Race 9, Lyra is your $2.60 favourite. Felicia at $5. Hummer Hummer at $6. Missile Mantra at $13. Fiesta and Spanish Whisper. Huh, there you go. Both at $15 there, Julesy.
I don't know if you did a joke and I haven't been listening.
Or Spanish Fiesta.
In the last 40
you do the maths, mate. So she's a thief, $17. And over the page there, In Good Time is the longest of them at $46.
Not a lot of speed in this race, I don't think. I think She's the Thief will go forward. Felicia from that wide gate will roll forward. Was very good off 70 days when got beaten by Showmanship last start at Moonee Valley. In Good Time, I think, might be able to roll forward. Liar gets a pretty good map, I think, from that inside gate. Just slightly worried, as you can see here, was very similar sort of position to what it might be on Saturday. Was back on the inside. Probably got out maybe fractionally later than what Luke Curry probably wanted, but this was a pretty good rating race behind Diamond Effort. This horse here was hard in the market, Liar, $4.60 this day. I thought it was a really good performance. The problem with this horse is It just hasn't won since the Blue Diamond last year, but it's going really well. It ran third to Trekking in a Goodwood. Before that, it ran second in a Sangster to Bella Vella. Going really well. I'm just worried about the fact that maybe in a slow tempo, the gap might not appear, but I'm happy to back Liar. I'm scared absolutely senseless of Fiesta first up. It's had seven goes first up for three wins. All three wins have been first up. It could be the one steaming down the outside. If there's any money for Fiesta, be with it. And Missile Mantra is a horse you want to keep on your side as well. But I'm with Liar. I just want the gaps to open when she needs them.
She'll fit this profile from her low gauge. She won't have to do anything early, Jules. She just needs the luck to get out. And there'll be a lot of punters that are on her in all ups and Maltese and quaddies in one out Liar. Her profile, she's the best horse in the race and looks like she's going to get the best run. That's why we opened up at 270 here at Sportsbet. But she's too short for mine, so I want to ride against her. And the horse I want to ride against her is a horse called In Good Time at around $41. She broke 1.9, running 108.91, winning a 6-furlong gallop at Eagle Farm. She's got residual fitness. She beat Bandipur on that occasion. I like that she's had a little trial, and Tracy Bartley brings this horse down from Sydney, sneaks her down, and at 41s each way all day. I agree with you with Missile Mantra. She got bumped badly, and the jockey had to pull her back. Sorry for clapping. And I'm going to forgive her for that. I think that she's a smart galloper. I'm going to play Fiesta in the race too, in the same race multi, because she's got that residual fitness, and her gallop in July at Eagle Farm was good. But Spanish Whisper has trolled up really well. She gets the earmuffs on. She gets a lovely run just off speed, three deep, and she's one I want to play in my multis as well. But I'm going to go one here In Good Time. If she runs to her best on a fast track at $41 each way all day, you'll hear me yelling.
There you go, it's a big, big price. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Martial Law. I just really like that stinger, SD, I've got to be honest.
It's good to be back on the horse, Mick.
Yes. SD, we are going to have a look at the Group 1, of course, at Caulfield. Before we get to the speed map, though, we're going to have a look at the Bobby Lewis and one horse in particular that you like the look of.
Yeah, for sure. And you want horses that, you know, are heading into a Sir Rupert Clark handicap conditions to be running well in their lead-up races. Now, the focus here is on Banquo, and I think he fits the mould really well. That's dollar for dollar on his left shoulder in the orange cap that leads. You can see Tafani, multiple Group 1 winner, gold cap, Damien Oliver, rider screen, Zutori in the candy, Mark Zara ends up winning the race. And you just see Banquo into a nice gallop. He's got good gate speed, this horse. We've seen that before. We know he's a winner at Caulfield over the 7 furlongs. We know he's backed up behind Pretty Brazen in a Sandown Guinea. So here he is last Saturday, jumps well, he travels extremely well. When they come off the bridle and they join the course proper here, different turf, I like his action. He's very well balanced. Dollar for dollar lets down really good. Gets everybody off the bridle bar Banquo. Now Banquo goes and he digs, and you just love the way he fights here, Banquo. Zutori goes back to the rider's green. Dollar for dollar. Geez, that was a good gallop by him. He'll roll forward in the Sir Rupert Clark, show good speed. But Danny O'Brien, his trainer, wanted to see him dig and fight and run this 6 furlongs out really well. With the drop of weight on the back up, 7 furlongs, great mould for him. So let's have a look at this 7-furlong gallop from Caulfield, where they stand out of the gates, bang, they gallop up a hill before it plateaus out at the 1,100-metre mark. Now, be good to your mother at 52 kilos last year. He's got to jump and roll and burn the turf. Akinar Star will hold and jump as be as close as he can with his 7-furlong stats in his profile. Then you've got dollar for dollar, great gate speed. He'll roll across. That's his advantage. Age of Chivalry's got to come across. The three-year-old Tagaloa will ask the question of Age of Chivalry, Run Sun, Streets of Avalon coming back from a Fian Stakes. There's good speed. Goldfield's posted. Madame Rouge will come back. I'm Superman, if he gets a run, will come back. Reykjavik, it'll be two pairs back. Pretty Brazen gets a beautiful run in behind. And Bohemoth, if he jumps like he did when he won his Group 1 last start, he'll be nice and close with Mandela Effect. So that's a good wall behind Genuine Speed. Superstorm's got to come back from there. Watch it all unfold with Rohern. And then you've got Harlech. This horse has won Group 2 level. 7 furlongs in New Zealand. He's trialled up well. He might just get a nice sit in behind him. And then Cascadia and Damien Oliver. He's normally a little bit slow, but he's finally got a big field with Genuine Speed that'll set it up nicely for him to roar up in behind from the 1,000 to the 8 to the 6 down the side. It'll be a bowling gallop. There'll be more pressure heading into the 600-metre mark. So who does it suit? I'm tipping horses 1, 2 to 3 pairs back that can absorb that speed early and get into a nice position before they hit, before the pressure goes on at the 600. It's Banquo. It's the likes of Mandela Effect with the gear change. Bohemoth, Pretty Brazen. And then you've got Madame Rouge to get back behind them. Then Cascadian follows the likes of Bohemoth, Banquo, Dollar for Dollar, Be Good to Your Mother to try and let him out. So it's a fantastic race this, Mick. And then it's on again from the 450 getting to the furlong, who gets the best run from there.
Very good, SD. Key points for the punters to take away?
Well, the key points for this 7-furlong gallop and handicap conditions at Group 1 level is there's genuine speed and there's always high pressure. It's a Group 1 race. That's fair dinkum. Then you've got 2 to 3 pairs back are the key runners. I think if you can absorb that speed and sit nice and close and get a nice little comfy run back in behind them, that's the place to be in this race with a lot of speed inside and out. And then the key here is to make your own luck from the 450 to the 150, where you've got those lightweights off that tough speed in front and you can poke your nose into gaps, slip streams and be really zooming into that 150 metre mark. This race will change complexion, a little bit like Santa and Elaine when he won it, I think, in the last 50 metres.
Very good, SD. And make sure you tune into Insider Trading every Saturday morning on racing.com because this is where you get the updated speed map information and, of course, all the latest market moves as well, SD. Great. Speaking of market moves, we're going to have a look at some future ones now and also some weights as we throw to another segment of Julesy's Punter Education.
Oh, I thought we might have knocked that on the head last week, but anyway, continues to move on. Melbourne Cup weights came out last week. So what we're going to do is we're just going to get up a graphic of what we thought back in May. We had a prediction of what the weights might be and what the allocated weights were by Greg Carpenter last week for the Melbourne Cup in particular. Vow and Declare, bang on 57. Very elegant, just a half less than what I thought. So 55 kilos, I think the connections would be pretty happy with 55 kilos for her. Surprise Baby, a kilo more than what I thought, 54 and a half. I'm going to get to Surprise Baby a little bit later. Russian Camelot, another kilo more than what I thought. Master of Wine in the same boat. Then you got Quick Thinker, bang on. King of Lear Grants, 53 and a half. And then these ones, look, they're obviously a bit bigger in the price in the markets, but we got these weights just about right. So no real surprises, just a couple of them, obviously a little bit more or less than we thought, maybe that half kilo or 1 kilo. Now we're going to focus on the main contenders and we're going to start with the locals. Now, Russian Camelot, 53 and a half kilos. His effort in the Maccabi on Saturday, I think, is great if you're looking from a Melbourne Cup perspective. And that's what we're trying to narrow our focus on just with this little segment at the moment. We're not going to talk about the Cox Plate or any of those weight for age races. We'll just speak about the Melbourne Cup. 53 and a half kilos. I thought maybe that's a little bit too much, but he's bang on target with that kind of weight. Very elegant, 55 kilos. Well, she's right in this race. What she did in the autumn, obviously just being beaten by a Dave, who's a world-class galloper over 2,000 metres, and then winning the Tancred comfortably, puts her right in the mix, 55 kilos. Ocean X and King of Lear Grants. We'll see King of Lear Grants in the Turnbull Stakes. I reckon he'll run a massive race in that. With 53 and a half kilos, he could be this year's Surprise Baby. And Surprise Baby, 54 and a half kilos. So a kilo more than what he carried last year when he finished fifth, 53 and a half. If I were the connections, I'd be just a little bit surprised that I got an extra kilo. When you've got a horse like Prince of Arran who ran second, only got a half kilo for this year, and Master of Reality who ran fourth after he was relegated on protest, only gets a half. I finished fifth and I get a kilo. Very interesting. Now, $9 and $10 for Surprise Baby and Russian Camelot, you just don't need to be playing on those horses at the moment. If you like a horse, say an Ocean X at 34 or a King of Lear Grants at 31, yeah, have a play. But we know the Melbourne Cup's got so much volume and liquidity in it on day, you're not going to get too much shorter about Surprise Baby and Russian Camelot. So I'll just be waiting on those horses. I'm not saying Surprise Baby can't win, but 54 and a half, geez, right up there now, I think. Let's talk about the internationals. Three I've just identified for those punters out there. Ladon de V, 52 and a half kilos, puts him right in the race. $41 Melbourne Cup, but I reckon a Caulfield Cup. He's a listed winner over 2,400 metres. He'll run massive. Nickajack Cave goes to Moody's Camp, 53 and a half. His time form's right there. And Tiger Moth had 50 kilos, wasn't going to get in the race. But Saturday night in France, it won a Group 3, got a 2.5 kilo penalty for it. This is its win here. Now has 52 and a half kilos, and it's currently $11. It'll continue to tighten up. It's got to get over on the plane. It's got to do the right things. But this was a Group 3, 2,400 metres, started in the red. The start prior to this, it ran second to Santiago in a Group 1 race. This was its fourth start. It will come to the Melbourne Cup and be only its fifth start. But we've seen Rekindling win it at its 10th start. Marla ran third at its 10th start back in 2007. It was the host that got it bowling along. And then Cross Counter won it at its 8th start. It can win the race. I think if it comes over here fit and healthy, it's going to be the one to beat. And Russian Camelot off the weights, I think they're the two I want to be with, punters.
Very good, Julesy. Look forward to tracking that progress as we come closer to the Cup. We'll take a break now. When we come back, of course, we've got the Wolf of Worley Street. There you go, punters, and we're back. This is where we're going to find you your winners for the weekend, Julesy. We'll start with you, mate. Shall we go to Perth?
Yeah, race 4, number 4, Weapon Sun. 1,000 metres here, so we speak about this a lot. We look for a 1,000 metre horse, and this horse fits that profile. So I think Weapon Sun sets up really well at Perth. I'm happy to be with that horse.
You got another one there?
Yeah, or? I do. Race 7, number 8. I didn't know if you're going to roll me into it or what was going to happen there. But now this
you're
horse
rolling.
Was first up off 1,000 metres, now gets to 1,200 metres. Its best performances are at that 1,100, 1,200 metre range. So it's obviously against a really nice horse, I think Celebrity Queen, who's first up. But I reckon we can get it here. And I'm happy with Cliffs of Comfort at 1,200 metres, expecting it to be winning.
Very good, Jules. Yes, there you're going to Queensland.
Yeah, 60-11, the move here. This four-year-old gelding smashed the clock winning at Ipswich first up. Loved the use of the claim here, 52 kilos. And wasn't that far away behind the horse Odyssey that beat Alligator Blood last week first up there. So, yeah, really well suited. 6-11, the move.
I'm with you, SD. Yeah, this is a horse you just got to be following, punters. It's been gelded. It's come back. 3/4 of a second inside standard time. As SD said, it was a good performance. But what I loved is out quick, home quick. Last 400, 11-3-1, last 200. Outstanding, really nice racehorse. Going to win some big races, I think, the move.
There you go, Jules. Anything else in Queensland?
Absolutely not. You obviously didn't listen to the pre-production
meeting. There you go. Just seeing if he's listening, he's on. But we're going to go to Adelaide now. You both got one there. SD, who are you on?
Chuck, yeah. I woke up fresh flowers for you. Hello, Chucky, if you're watching. 13 back to 1,050 metres. With the blinkers on is the key here for Chucky. Gate 2, just missed this track and trip to Lake District Girl and Viduca. That's good enough form. So, Chucky, 4-3 at Morphettville.
Good luck to Chucky and to Chucky out there. You got to find the winner, Chuck! Chucky will know that. He'll find the winner. Race 8, number 5, Ghana. Was off 119 days. Was pretty good first up. Gets back in class here. I expect it to be winning. I think it's better than these. I know it's in the red, but it should win.
Esther, you've got a familiar name for this show up in Sydney.
Probabil, Mick, she's back. Race 5, number 5. Remember, she beat Funstart this distance first up. And Group 1 Surround, she's an absolute star. She was stiff not to win over 6 furlongs first up when she burst out late and just missed on the line. Follow her, she's drawn gate 4. Jockey couldn't stuff it up from there.
Julesy?
Race 3, number 12. Discharge on the quick 7-day back up. Dry track's the key for this horse. 4 wins have all been on a dry track, so I think it suits really well for Discharge. And then in the last, Crea Dearest, it's had 3 goes for 3 wins, and again, it's been absolutely busting the clock. 1 second inside standard time last start, but I love the last 400, last 200, 23 flat, 11.48. Crea Dearest, it'll get you home on a winner in Sydney.
Melbourne, earlier in the day.
3, number 9, Forever Free. She's back. She won 3-for-3 her first prep. Too many horses can win at Ballarat and then go on to win a listed race at Morphettville in their first restart. She did that. I love the way she trialled at Flemington 3 weeks back. She'll be right to go.
There you go. And Wolf of Wall Street tips, they are all there. Plenty of them, punters. Take a photo, write it down, whatever you got to do. Julesy, if you're having one bet on the weekend, who would it be?
It'd be Front Page at Caulfield. Octane's a nice horse, but we get the map advantage and I expect it to lead and win.
Esther, your one tip for the weekend?
Yeah, Forever Free.
Beautiful. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. It's quaddy time. Quaddy time. Esther, we're going to go to you. First leg, how do we look?
Okay, we're going to use a lot of horses here for this quaddy because it's that type of weekend. But race 6, Aidenfield goes in. We've got Cafe Rizzo to roll forward, sit on speed. Mozzie Monster. And then we're going to whack in Agreeable, of course. Julesy, you want a pinch of luck?
Yeah, I reckon if they ride it forward, he can win the race, a pinch of luck. It's that type of race. I don't reckon you need Cafe Rizzo, but, I'll go with you.
And
Hindam goes in.
Esther, can I just say before the second leg, I want to put one in here. I want Shandy in there because Julian Vergant's after me. He goes, not going to get a run.
Well, it's definitely
There's
not
two more need to come out, but I want to be on record that goes in because if it doesn't get a run, what happens, Esther? You don't put it in on the day.
Yeah, no, that's great.
There you go. Shandy goes in.
That's good, Mick.
Into that race.
You're the captain. Yeah.
You're definitely not going into that race.
No, Dr. Drill, we've got race 7.
No, it's league 2. I said in the second league.
Well, all I'm saying is I'm glad you've inputted something in here because this is just rubbish.
This is good. Dr. Drill, welcome back after the break. This is the quaddie, the 3-wide no-cover quaddie. Order of the Garter goes in. You've got De Beer and you've also got Gamekeeper. Anything else that I've left out there? Do you want Canaan in there? No, we're putting in Shandy, aren't we?
We got Dr. Drill.
Yeah,
Dr. Drill's in there.
Did he?
Yeah, 100%.
Thanks for listening.
Dr. Drill is in there, punters, we promise.
Okay. Yes, Sam. You don't need Canaan.
All right, we don't want Canaan.
It's a gunner.
Ouch. Third league.
Mohamedeus.
SD.
No Mohamedeus.
Okay. Come on.
So this is race 9. You ready?
Race 8.
Spanish Whisper goes in. Oh, yeah, we better do race 8 too, better we? Yeah, yep. We've got to put in Bohemoth, Cascadian. Madame Rouge is going in, pretty brazen. Tagaloa, Banquo and Harlech.
Yeah,
coming over from New Zealand. We happy with that?
Not really. Pretty brazen. Horses there, low percentage plays. Madame Rouge, I don't reckon you need. Cascadian. I know that you're with him. He's going to take a mighty effort.
Yeah, you can't veto another one, though. Mm. He wanted Canaan, he didn't get it. He wanted Canaan.
Did you want Canaan?
100%.
Clearly the best
quaddie. Well, if you want the SD quaddie, put in Canaan as well.
Produced, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, if you're going to take a second
quaddie. The last league SD, surely we're going 2 or 3, 4 out. How many we got?
We've got Spanish Whisper up the top there because she's got the earmuffs on there, Mick, and trialled really well. Liar and Fiesta. We're going to leave out Miss Old Mantra. We're going to leave out Spanish Whisper.
We're going to leave out
3 in.
Yeah, I reckon you only need 3. I reckon you only need 3. They're the
1585. There you go. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have a quick look now. The Hotham is coming up again. We're very excited about it. We love it each year. Look at this. This year, $75,000 on the table for local sporting clubs. If your sporting club has battled, has experienced anything in 2020 like we all have, make sure you jump on the Sportsbet blog. Details are there. You can scan the QR code there, enter in, and your club could be an ambassador for a horse in the Hotham and win thousands. So get around that. Have a great weekend. And, of course, gamble responsibly.
Hotham 4.